Hi, Viv. Thanks for joining me and congratulations on your MCA accomplishment.
Oh, thank you, Z.
It is truly a high privilege to be an MCA. I can tell you, even within Microsoft, people are recognized for their MCA status at our twice a year global gatherings. So it's really a big deal. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what is your current role?
Well, right now, I'm a senior software architect with my company, and I'm responsible for the technology and delivery of several .NET Microsoft browser-based applications. So as the tech lead or architect, I'm responsible for the design and the quality of the implementation and guiding business through the world of technology as they try and come up with a solution that will meet their business needs.
I remember about 2 years ago when I mentioned the MCA programs to you. You became immediately interested. Why? What values did you see from the industry-wide MCA programs that the other IT certification programs might not offer?
Yeah, I was very excited about it. I've been a Microsoft certified professional, Microsoft certified solution developer for, gosh, probably 13 or 14 years, and I'm still certified as a solution developer. But as I became more of an architect and responsible for multiple systems and their interaction with each other and how they fit into the technology strategy of a company, the skills measured by the solution developer weren't necessarily as pertinent to what I was doing in my regular, you know, day-to-day operations. So the concept of the architect position and how it measured fitting technology pieces into the overall technology of a corporation, dealing with the officers of the corporation, leading multiple projects and truly trying to make lots of systems work together, making systems a higher quality inside, was a certification that seemed like it was long overdue in the industry. The solution developer certifications, although very valuable, really concentrate on code and how does this syntax work and how do these, you know, two pieces of .NET functionality snap together. And this is a more broader abstract situation. And the certification process is much better suited for really diving into how much somebody knows about software and how software works and how it fulfills business needs than the multiple choice computer-aided testing that's done for solution developer certification.
So the current MCA programs are catered for different types of skills, technology-based architect skills such as messaging and a database, and a broad architect skills such as infrastructure and solutions. Which category does your MCA title fall into?
I'm a solutions architect, so I concentrate on the building of solutions, and the solutions architect is really across technologies as opposed to being a specifically focused architecture situation like an Exchange or messaging architect.
So how did you get the process started, get yourself into the process?
Well, back then it was just beginning, so it wasn't really well known. I heard about it from my email from you. That invited me to take a look at it. So I submitted a resume and a short description of myself. That was really the first step, and that has to be approved. And I got a phone call with somebody who spent 15 minutes on the phone making sure that, you know, what I was what was the target of the program. Then there's a number of applications you have to fill out. You know, you have to choose a project that displays your architecture skills. You have to do a long description of showing how you meet certain characteristics, and finally, a resume gets submitted, and that the cumulative work effort for probably those three documents was probably about 40 hours.
As we all know, the process of being certified is very lengthy, not to mention the experience you have to have. But specifically, how did you, quote, prepare for yourself for the interview process and specifically the interview day?
Well, there's not so much you can do to prepare for the interview. There's a 20-minute period up front where you get to do a set presentation, it might be 30 minutes, but you get to do a set presentation describing yourself, and you have 30 minutes to convince the people on the board that you would display the traits that are an architect. That you want to prepare very carefully, and you want to practice in time and get all set up so you use that 30 minutes. Because at 30 minutes, they're going to stop you, and there's a clock with great big font clicking down in front of you, and at 30 minutes, they're going to cut you off. So that kind of preparation you can do. In terms of preparing for the rest, the 2 40-minute question sessions, there really isn't anything you can do to prepare because the questions can come across the entire range of, you know, software application development, software architecture, and it's such a broad spectrum that studying at that point this really isn't going to be very helpful. What you really need to do is, you know, have years and years of experience behind you and have paid attention for years and years to have the depth of knowledge to handle that part. I think the key thing that you can do to prepare both leading up to it and that day is to try and do as much as possible to make sure you're relaxed in that situation, because the entire focus of that situation is to throw you out of your comfort zone.
Your certification process, do you remember anything specific, anything that you can share with us?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think the key goal I would give people is make sure you plan and have everything you want all planned out so you can stay relaxed. I say that because everything that happened that weekend for me kind of fought against that. My first plan was I was going to go down. I was going to catch up. I live in Washington, D.C., and my review was in Austin. So I was going to fly down to Austin, and my mentor has actually lived in Austin. So I was supposed to land around 6:30, and then I would meet him for a drink around 8, get a good night's sleep, and be ready for my review the next morning. But then I showed up at the airport. Everybody's done airline travel. First of all, they told us our plane didn't have a bathroom on it, so we were going to have a 4-hour flight with two-hour flight with no bathroom.
It's good for you.
Yeah, good for the little 3- and 5-year-olds who are all running around. You wonder, if you were a 3- and a 5-year-old, what makes you think you should possibly get on an airplane for 2 hours with no bathroom? So we all get on the plane, and then they say, oh, well, we can't fly a plane down there, so we all get back off the plane. So then they're going to fix the bathroom. So then there's another hour wait while they're fixing the bathroom. So then they tell us, we can't fix a bathroom, we're going to fly anyways. We all get back on the plane. So then while we're on the plane, the flight attendant comes on and says, wait, we can't fly this without the plane. So we all get back off again. So we get back off the plane. So we got on and off the plane about 3 times until finally once we were all on and were ready to go and they'd actually pulled away from the gate, another plane came up that had a bathroom. So they put us all back in the gate. We got back on. I ended up getting down to Austin around 11 o'clock at night instead of around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, step one, get a good night's sleep the night before, was completely shot. Now, the next day, I was staying at the Embassy Suites right across the parking lot from the Microsoft offices. And so I actually had a good day that day. And, you know, I've given lots of presentations, you know, in my time. I've, you know, done presentations in front of conferences, in front of lots of people. And I usually, you know, having done so many, I put the slides together, kind of read over them a couple times, and then wing it in front of the group. But this was important enough that I actually spent a lot of time rehearsing, memorized a lot of lines, went over the thing during the course of the day several times in front of the mirror in the hotel room, spent a lot of time preparing so that I had that 30-minute time window absolutely correct. At that whole time, always trying to stay relaxed and figuring the more prepared I am, the more relaxed I'll be. Went across the parking lot, was in the Microsoft office in the reception area, and supposed to be called in any minute now for my review, and my phone rings, and I pick it up, and I'm a president of a homeowner association board back home.
A busy guy.
Yeah, very busy guy. And it was our staff, and they had an irate homeowner in the office, and they had to call the police, and they were asking me what to do because the police had done such and such, and basically it was a very, very tumultuous time. During the time I'm supposed to be gathering and focusing myself and making sure I'm relaxed, I'm dealing with a police call to our staff who's all distraught. So once again, you know, my plans of going in very relaxed kind of vanished. So we got that taken care of, and I had another 2 or 3 minutes, you know, to get a glass of water and be ready for the actual review event.
Tell us about the actual interview process. How did it go for you?
Sure. Like I said earlier, we go out of our way to make sure you're not in your comfort zone. So the process itself is you walk in and there's a 30-minute presentation that's just you. And none of the board ask any questions. Usually there's, I believe, 4 board members in the room as well as an administrator who's running the whole show for the day. So you do your 30-minute presentation, and then there's a 40-minute question and answer period where they ask you, each of the board members peppers you with questions for 10 minutes. And what they're trying to find out is, based on that list of architectural characteristics, you know, the 7 basic principles and the 10 or so subcategories of each one, they're trying to determine whether you show those traits. So they may ask you about your actual project. If they don't feel they got enough of that out of the project, if they feel you've covered the project okay, they may focus on business issues. But whatever they don't think you covered in your presentation, they're going to start diving down deeper. So, which actually makes a kind of a dilemma when you're putting your presentation together, because when you look at this list of traits, and it is a widely varying thing, and nobody is an expert in everything, you know, on this grid of expectations. So in your presentation, do you stress the things that you're not very good at, hoping to pass on those so they don't ask you a lot of questions, or but risking, you know, not looking very good? Or do you stress the things you're really good on and just ace the presentation, but then risk being asked questions later on that you can't answer? So it's kind of, I work with my mentor a lot on figuring out, you know, which way to go in that regard.
So which strategy did you take?
I took a couple of things that I wasn't very good on and put them in the presentation, but for the most part, the presentation focused on my application and the technologies and the actual hardcore specific technologies and architecture and design. After the first 40-minute session, what they do is they take a 10 or 20-minute break, I think it's about a 10-minute break, and actually ask you to leave the room. And they sit down with the grid and they decide which ones you've shown and which ones you haven't shown yet, and then they invite you back in and drill down deeper into the ones you haven't displayed yet in the interview. So, you know, once again, they're like looking for the weak spots and just pushing right against the weak spots. And in addition to that, because it's so much stuff to cover in a relatively short period of time, they do what's called aggressive questioning. So if they ask you a question, say, of describe how the IONKNOWN interface works in COM, and you say, oh, the IONKNOWN interface has query interface, add reference, release, they will cut you off. If you start to answer the question, and it's apparent from your first 10 seconds that you know this answer, you're going to whip right through it, they will cut you off and go on to the next question. So any question that you can answer, you don't get to answer. So probably 50 to 75% of the time you were in this review, you are asking a question that you're not, you are answering a question that you may probably not comfortable with. So it's a very, very grueling, you know, 80 minutes of questioning with a small 10-minute break of, you know, kind of total emotional collapse.
I suppose you probably did it really well, but how did you find out if you passed or not?
Well, because of the nature of the interview and the aggressive questioning, no matter how well you did, you walk out thinking you did poorly. So you just got to understand, when you walk out, you're going to think you did poorly, and don't be discouraged.
Understood.
I was staying, like I said, at the Embassy Suites, and they have, if anybody who's stayed at the Embassy Suites, they have the complimentary manager's reception in the evening. So I was supposed to say I would receive an email sometime, you know, shortly that afternoon, and since I was the last candidate being interviewed that day, I should expect it relatively soon. So I went over, and I sat at the bar at the manager's reception, and I had my, you know, Scotch rocks in one hand and my Blackberry in the other, and I'm just staring at Blackberry and drinking and staring and drinking and staring and drinking. And, you know, an hour went by, and 2 hours went by, and no response. So I finally figured, I better go eat, because I've been sitting at this bar drinking free booze for 2 hours. So I go across the street to the restaurant, and I'm eating my food, and the phone finally rings, and it's my mentor. And he's saying, so how'd you think it went? And I'm like, oh, I guess it went okay. And he's talking very cryptically until finally he said, you don't know yet? And I said, no, I don't know anything. Well, it turns out that the administrator had mistyped my address into the email telling me that I'd passed.
Oh, boy.
And I was the last one of the day, so he hit send, and he closed his notebook, and he went home. So, you know, the next morning I get an email saying that I passed. So I found out actually only because my mentor, you know, called me up to talk to me about it. Then he came on over, and we talked for a while. But, yeah, so what should have been a very short time, just because of a completely inadvertent, you know, slip-up, turned out to be a very prolonged, you know, period of not knowing what happened.
Biff, I want to thank you for your time today. Why don't you just give us a little bit of perspective on what the program was like for you? What did you find that was easy to prepare for, and what were some of the challenges that you had as you prepared?
One thing I really liked about it was it really gave me a chance to measure myself against the expectations of the community. You know, you continue to do your job and you think you're doing a good job, but it's always good to get an objective measure of yourself. I found it extremely difficult, and I found it very challenging. And, you know, at the same time, it's very gratifying to pass. It's very humbling to realize just how broad this industry we are in is, and, you know, what a small slice of it we really can be expert in at any given time.
Architect certifications that are out there in the industry right now. Why did you decide to spend your time working on the Microsoft Certified Architect program versus some of the others?
Well, actually, to be quite frank, the only architecture certification that I am aware of is the Microsoft Certified Architect. I mean, I've learned since that there are, you know, a few other ones out there. The Microsoft one looked like a good one to me because of its breadth of knowledge that it tested, from interacting with CEOs and CTOs down through the bits and bytes of what's happening inside of specific technologies. So, and that's why I liked the Microsoft technology, but I didn't really compare and contrast it to other architectural certifications.
So, Biff, what kind of experience do you think a candidate needs to have in order to be successful in this program?
Well, I think the key thing that got me through it was, over the course of my career, and I guess I've been getting paid for doing this one way or another for about 26 years. I've got a very wide range of different jobs. My first job, I was the first developer in a four-person firm where the entrepreneurial owner had, you know, dreams of this software that would address the business need of his particular industry. And we ended up growing the development staff to about 5, and the firm grew to about 35. But it was the quintessential small entrepreneurial firm. And what I learned there was how to ship. You know, if you do not ship the software, you do not get paid. You know, so the concept of, oh, this project isn't going to work, we're going to pull the plug, was not an option at that point. The entire firm's existence depended on making sure we shipped. So I learned an attitude about shipping software there. Then I moved into other positions, and I spent about 7 or 8 years with a very prominent Microsoft consultant solution, not Microsoft consulting, but a partner firm, and was a C++ comm specialist there, and got to go into a lot of different IT shops as a consultant to fix programs, to help programs interact with other situations, to help them implement new technology, dealing with the management of the companies there at that point, and explaining the purpose of the technology, and that got me a breadth of experience in technology and really established a focus in one particular technology in terms of Microsoft technology. From there, then I ended up in my current position where I'm with an IT shop, and that's a very different view of the industry in terms of, you know, you're no longer the revenue center, you're a cost center, and the concept is you need to fulfill the business needs with as, you know, small a cost as possible because you are not yourself generating the income. So those were three, and I spent, you know, many years in each of those places. You know, I didn't do a career where, you know, I spent a year here on a project, then I spent a year on the next project, the next company, and I didn't have the same year of experience 20 times. I had, you know, 3 7-year positions essentially, all of which were very unique and brought a different perspective, and that gave me the breadth that allowed me to make it through the entire process. I would say that the interview itself, talking to people after it was over and discussing it with, you know, acquaintances, probably the closest thing you could compare it to would be a PhD dissertation, where the first 30-minute presentation you do is essentially presenting your dissertation, but, you know, instead of 2 years of PhD study, you've really got your career is the study, and this is just the validation of, you know, the knowledge that you've gained throughout the course of your career. And they're really, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, it's too late to study various technologies, you know, the last 2 weeks before the review. At that point, you've either gained that over the course of your career or you haven't. And, you know, I would say for advice for people coming in, be aware that you're not going to know everything they ask you. You probably are going to know only a fraction of what they ask you at a great level, and probably partial knowledge of another fraction of what they ask you. So once you've decided you're going to go for it, stay relaxed during the interview and realize that although you are disoriented and you think you're answering a very small fraction of the questions, you could very well be doing absolutely fine. And that's exactly how, you know, it's set up to make you, not make you feel, it's not like they're trying to play gotcha, but they're trying to get you out of your comfort zone. So just be aware of that and roll with the changes, and you'll get through.
So would you recommend participating in the program to your colleagues?
Absolutely. I don't think I'd recommend it to everybody I know. I mean, it is a very difficult program to get through, and it there are certain qualifications and experience that's going to help you get through. But if you've been in the industry for a good length of time and have established a broad range of experience, it's a wonderful validation of your career, and it's a wonderful certification to show the world, you know, that says, look, you know, my resume says I've been doing it 13 years, but this validation says I've been doing it for 13 years very well.
This has been great, Biff. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate that. Thank you, George, for joining us too.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Biff, for your support of the program.